All right. Thank you. I'm going to ask you if you'll bring that thing with me. All right. Thank you so much for being with us. You folks who are visiting from other churches, we've been just getting loop-legged drunk the last two nights. We sobered up before we got home, but we just got loop-legged over here enjoying the good things of the Lord. And I hope and pray that where you've been, that God's been doing something too, because I don't like to be nowhere where there's no God. I go into some Baptist churches where you can't find him with a hunting dog. I promise you, you won't be able to sense his presence at all. Oh, my soul, what a blessing, what a joy. Well, some lady told me tonight back in the back, I wandered off back there and fellowshipped a little while, and she said, it takes a man to wear pink. I said, no, ma'am, it takes $49 and belts. That's all it takes. You don't have to be anything else, just strap it on and go. But I am delighted and thankful for a laughter spirit here. I'm glad we can have fun. Some of us look like our driver's license picture. We don't know what we want. We don't know how we want it. We don't know what to do about it. I don't care how much money you acquire. I've been around money people. I have had money people try to buy me out. I've had money people try to get my attention. I've had money people, because of a little success here and there, that want to come around and they want a bite out of your apple and a bite out of your life. But I sure am glad and grateful for people who have a good time. I have more fun asleep than most people have awake. My wife moved out of our bedroom about a month ago. She said, you're fighting in your sleep. But she thought I was asleep. And she said, and I do. I scare the dog. I take some medicine that makes me see things when I can't open my eyes. I see them on the back of my eyelids. I've been staying in the room with Jake for 6 years, and he's been telling me, it's been spooky in here, preacher. Been spooky in here. Well, just enjoy yourself. I'm 71 next month, and I decided that the rest of my life, I'm going to live it happy. I have lived to this point rejoicing, and I am glad and thankful for him. But I've had some Baptists look at me with a scowl on their face and stop an 8-day clock and scare the devil out of the devil. But I do appreciate you being here. I want to thank God for your preacher. I want to bless the Lord for God giving you somebody when he took somebody. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed in both cases. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Either way, it's all right. One in heaven, one in Hendersonville, or one in Holly Springs. It's not a bad place to be, and you got promise of heaven too. And I thank all of you who pray for him. And I appreciate everybody here who's told me you prayed for me over the months and the weeks, and even in this meeting. I appreciate it. I'm going to impose on you one more time and ask you, if you would, to forget all about your children. Now, you need to go back and think about them in a minute, but I want to draw your attention away from everything. And I want you to pray for me, because where you're sitting and where I'm standing is two different places.
Right, Doc. Yes, sir.
Are you listening? Right, sir. You can come, I can come, and sit in the congregation and soak up what God's got for me. But this man can come and wonder the whole time, is he doing all right? Wonder the whole time, was it God when I started out? And worry. You can worry about whether or not you didn't do well, because every one of us ought to strive to do better than we did the last time we did it. Whether the kids, if you sing, sing for his glory. Don't sing to get a little girl to look at you. That'll come in time, and you'll wish she hadn't. So don't do that. Just let God work in your life. And pray. And I'm gonna ask Brother Jake to come over. And I'm gonna ask him to pray for the service tonight. And I'm gonna ask him to pray for me. Yes. I want you just to let. Thank you, ladies. So many of the especially the elder ladies. I had one lady tell me she'd been on her face all day for me.
Amen.
My goodness alive. What a joy.
Yeah.
What a blessing to know somebody cares. I'm going to ask the deacons, if they will, and some of the fellows out of the church here to come up and stand around the front with us, and we're going to pray. I'm going to move this before I stumble over it and act like a fool. All right? Come on up. Come on, fellas. Come on. Come on. Come on. We're going to pray. Come on up front right here with us, if you will, and ask God to help us tonight. Brother Jake, you come over here and pray for us. Please do. All right. I got 10 more men that'll come. Just there you go. Come on. Come on. You don't have to be from there, here, over yonder. Come on. 8 more. Come on. 8 more. Just come and pray. Oh, I'm desperate. Thank you, son. Most of you got them youngins in your lap and can't do it. There you go. Thank you, son. Amen, buddy. There's a blessing on your life when you bless the lives of other people. Thank you, Brother Capps. God bless you. All right, Jake, you lead us in prayer, and I want everybody in here to pray. God touch the preacher. I've tried to touch him today. I've tried to get with him today. I've tried to study and look at what he said. I said, God, let me go over there with something worth them people praying for me about. And so I want you to join us by bowing your head. And Brother Jake, lead us in prayer. And I'm dependent on you, son. I'm depending on the Lord. But I'm dependent on people to pray. Because there ain't nothing else going to work for me. Nothing, nothing.
God, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus tonight, Lord, and we ask you, God, to touch the reading of your word tonight, God. We thank you that it is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Oh, Holy Ghost.
God, may you use the words that this man brings tonight to pierce our soul. God, may you show us a glimpse of yourself tonight that we've never seen.
Oh, yes.
God, may you show us details about you, God, that we've never experienced in times past. Lord, we ask that your power be evident in this place tonight. We ask, God, that your spirit manifest itself through the reading of God's word. I want to thank you for this man of God who has devoted his life, God, a lifetime spent in the book, a lifetime spent preaching the word of God. We ask that you anoint him in this moment right now, Holy Ghost. Would
Let
you touch
so,
him?
God.
Would you fill him? Would you give him
Precious
power
Lord.
That he has not in himself? God, would you fill
Wrap
him with strength?
In your grace
God,
tonight.
Would you fill him with power?
Be merciful
the mercy
to me.
And grace of God, would
Be
you touch
helpful
him?
To
I
me.
Pray that you'd fill his mouth
Be
with the words that you'd
me.
Have us hear. God, that you would speak through him as a vessel.
God.
That you would speak through him as a mouthpiece of God. And that you would touch him, oh Lord. You said your word would never, ever return void. So God, we believe that what you said is going to come to pass. We believe that you've called him.
Oh, yes.
We believe that you've touched him. We believe you're going to bless him and you're going to empty him out tonight and fill us up. Empty the man of God and fill up your people.
Oh,
empty the preacher and
yes.
fill up the church member. Every teenager, every child, every parent, every preacher, every deacon. God, would you fill us up and would you be blessed in the church service tonight? Would you be pleased with the preaching of your word tonight, God. I want to thank you for this man and every sermon that he's preached down through the years. I want to thank you for the first time I ever got to hear him and the Holy Ghost touched my life because of the preaching of this man of God. I want to thank you for what preaching does. It's still the preaching of God's word that'll get the job done. I pray, Holy Ghost, you'd fill him with boldness. You'd fill him with power. You'd fill him with confidence because you said being confident in this very Christ. We're asking you to perform your work tonight, God. We're asking you to do great things tonight, oh Lord. Bring revival. Bring power. Bring anointing. May it flow from this man's lips into our hearts, God. What's on your heart, may you put it on his heart. And may we receive it. May we believe it. May we testify of it. And may it change us tonight. Oh, God, may your word change us. May the preaching of God's word make an impact in our life. And may we leave this place different than we walked in. May we leave this property different than we arrived. Oh, God, may we take something to work tomorrow that can change somebody because of what we hear tonight. Oh, God, may anointing flow off of this church, off these churches that are represented. Oh God, touch us tonight. We acknowledge our desperate need for you. God, we don't need another sermon. We need a move of God. We don't need another man. We need Jesus tonight, God. We acknowledge our need for you. In humble adoration, we come before your throne asking you to move. We need you, God. Above all things, we need you. More than we need breath, more than we need money, more than we need applause, more than we need people. We need Jesus tonight, Lord. We want to see a glimpse of you. Would you pass by this tabernacle tonight? Show us a glimpse of your glory tonight, Lord. Show us a glimpse of who you are tonight, God. I pray decisions would be made, that we would not quench the Holy Ghost, that we would not stop the progress of God in this meeting, that we would not hinder you in any way, oh God. May we respond in our heart to the preaching of God's word. Oh, it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, son. Thank you, fellas. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, congregation. Well, if you have not been here, I have been preaching out of this little bottle. It's called Boost. It's a supplemental drink, a protein drink, that when you drink it, it gives vitality to your bloodstream. We found five things on. I've never done this before on this sermon or any other one. I don't have five that I can put together and make them make sense. So I found on this bottle some things that are akin to our Bibles and to our Christian walk. The first thing I told you about the other night is, it says on here, shake well. And it also says, keep it chilled but not freezing. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to go to that shake well. Why? Because the goodie is on the bottom. If it's on the shelf for an hour or more, they say all the 26 nutrients in this bottle will settle to the bottom. So God shook us around. God shook me Monday. Amen. I hope he'll shake me to the point that he'll just shake you out of shaking me. Shake us, Lord. The place wherein they prayed was shaken in the power of God. Secondly, last night we found out that there's 26 minerals in this drink, that if you remove any of them or get any of them out of kilter with the rest of them, it kills the nutrition that you could have got. It does not do what it promises to do if you monkey with it, if you play with it or add to it. I like to add chocolate ice cream. Yeah, and Hershey's chocolate syrup. Yeah, I feel him already getting warmed up for it. I'm gonna drink this one tonight. And we found out God needs us to be in love with each other so that we can provoke love and good works. I try to memorize a verse a week if I can, and my mind will let me, and that one was mine this week. Provoking men to love and to good works. Our lives ought to count and reflect love and good works. And I appreciate the love and good works that's around here. Somebody was provoked to work on this building. Provoked to lead. Provoked to give. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
stay together. Don't monkey with the formula. Don't mess around with what God's fixed and put together. And love God's people and tell them so. I hope this isn't true, but it could be. Did I shake more hands tonight that love me than you got to shake your hands that love you? Did you sit? The Bible says if a man shall have friends, finish it, son. He got to show himself friendly. I like people. I like to go to Atlanta at the airport and watch them. Some weird ducks quacking over in Atlanta. I'm sure they are in Asheville too, but I like to watch. I mean, just watch people. I like to witness the Word of God to people. I know everybody I tell about the Word of God is not going to be saved, and it ain't none of my business who gets saved. God does the saving. I just do the provoking. It didn't say that you can't provoke. God doesn't. He provokes us to it. We provoke men to it and encourage men to do good works and experience love. So tonight, we're going to look at the third one. And the third one is right here. You must take daily. You can't miss. You got to take it religiously. If you don't drink one in the morning and one at night, they will not at the company. They will not stand good for your well-being. They tell you not to take any more than two a day. But if you just take one or quit taking any, you can't blame them because they gave it to you. And it was up to you to take it. So you ought to get consistent every day in taking what God has given to us in His Word. I want you to look tonight, if you will, and let me for just a moment give you some ideas on what we need in this boost that God's going to give us because we allow ourselves to daily, consistently commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus. If I do that, here's how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to preach tonight on how you can be what God wants you to be in consistency and in credibility for what He's told you. There's three things I want to give you, if I can. First of all, there is what should we do to be consistent? Our boost. What do we do to get that boost? Number one. Let me give this to you. It says there is scripture that we must review daily. There is scripture that we must review daily. Amen. Not weekly at Sunday school. Not haphazardly during the week. But can I get somebody to come with me right here and say amen? That we take it every day.
Amen.
I am the world's worst at taking medicine right. And I'm the last person here that don't need to miss it. But I'm bad. I'm bad. My doctor gave me 14 pills the other day. They was about the size of a Shetland pony's left leg. I had to drink a well of water to get the thing down. But he said, take two of these a day, one in the morning, one at night. I had a problem with infection. I said, all right, I'll do it. And so I got the stuff, and the first day I took one, and that night I took one, got feeling better. got the next morning, got up and took one. That night I took one. That's four out of the how many he gave me. And about six in, I was well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But you see, you can't gauge your health by how you feel.
Amen.
Believe it or not, those doctors, some of them look like they don't know a whole lot, and the best way to die is to go to them. But they do know a little bit, and I had about five left in the bottle when I started feeling it again. And the infection started back in. I didn't kill it. I just made it mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I was okay.
Yeah.
But I did not continue daily.
Right.
Amen. Right, dog. Right.
Amen. If you come up short, it's not God's fault.
Yes.
If I come up short, it's not God's fault.
Right.
And there's some of you in here come up short, and it's not all your fault. But we need to get our eggs in a row and our ducks lined up. And we need to find out that the best thing we can do is every day of our life, spend time in this book. Every day of our life, spend time around the Holy Ghost. And every day of our life, we need to let ourselves go and let the Holy Spirit of God use us to his honor and his glory. Read that book every day. Every day, there's scriptures that we must review daily. We must look into them daily. Let me ask you something. Do you daily subscribe to the book? Do you daily read the book? Are you getting anything? Now it's getting quiet. I get a little bit shaky when you get quiet. Make me think you know what I'm talking about here. Aren't you glad that we have such a revelation? Aren't you glad we have such a report? Aren't you glad we have such a promise and such a presence in our life, the Word of God, that we can lean on it? Don't matter what Trump does. It don't matter what Hillary does. Nobody gives a rip what Hillary does. And it just doesn't matter any of these things because we don't. We love the Declaration of Independence, and we love our Constitution. I do, but I want to tell you something. My Bible's laying on top of all that, and I'm saying to God be the glory. Great thing he has done. Oh, that God would help us. Let me give you three things real quick on how you ought to have the scriptures revealed to you. Three things you can do that help me that I do every day. Number one, find you a place to read it.
All right.
Find you an altar to read it on. Find you a place that you call your prayer closet. A place you may be, you say, I get to sit down, I go to sleep. Get up and walk.
All right.
Just walk. Maybe you like walking and you haven't got anything else to do but that. Walk. Now, some of you is old enough, you look like you don't need to go far from home. So I don't want to be held accountable and send you off and get you hurt. But walk and talk to Jesus. Walk and read it. But somewhere you need to find, you're going to have to read that Bible. You're going to have to. It's going to come down to us quit preaching on it and you start doing it. Read the Word. Find you a place. Number two, God told me and helped me. Have a time to get there, but don't have a time to leave.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't take your phone in that closet.
Right.
Yeah. No, sir. Don't you have no TV close by. No, sir. God deserves what God wants and needs, and we ought to make sure that he gets it. So, have a time, have a place. Listen to this one. Don't try to read quantity.
Amen. Good. That's good.
Try to read quality.
Yes.
I read the Bible through. Well, I want the Bible to read through me.
Yes.
Good, I want to open this book and have God to touch my life in such a way that the Holy Spirit can use it. But that can't happen as long as I'm doing something else, or lollygagging around, making phone calls, and thinking about reading it. Read it every day. Amen. How many of you right now, you have a good close relationship with your Bible every day and you appreciate it every day? Let me see your hands. Just be honest, all right? You can put them back down. I just want to help you. I just want you to see. Your life can change. You teenagers are trying to find out what psychology says, and you're trying to find out what philosophy says, and you're trying to find out what this one and that one thinks, and what this one has put out. The best thing you can do is get in that book, memorize it. I believe memorizing it will help you, and memorizing it, it was the thing that helped me more than anything else in the world, was learning how, and do it while you got a mind, because you're not always going to have the one you got now. I promise you that. Do everything you can to encourage your mind and brain. He said, what did he say about that young man, whereby shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereto unto the word of God. How can a teenager stay clean? How can a mama stay clean? How can a daddy stay right with God? It's impossible in this generation. I beg to differ with you. There is a source of power out of this world that can give you something you ain't never going to get in Hendersonville, something you ain't never going to find down the road or up the road. That book is God's word. Lee Robertson told me one time, he said, it's God's mind on paper, boy. God wrote his mind on paper. He said, to find out what God said, get in the paper. He said, it's in the paper. Whoop! Thank God and the Lamb forevermore. I'm glad that he's good to us in that way. You know, this is an alarm. An alarm. I had ATD?
ADT.
ADT is a security group. They promise you ain't nobody going to get in your house. Anybody want in your house, they going to get in your house. Alarms going off, all that means is you're going in the house with alarms going off, and you're going to come out with your stuff, and the police are going to leave Hardy's about 30 minutes and come down there and help you. But they ain't going to get no crazy hurry because they know what they're up against. I put a system last week in my shop. I've got a little shop in my yard, my backyard, and I have a motorcycle in it that I don't want nobody riding. Especially while I'm not at home. And I'd hate to have to leave tracks on their back when I do get back home, because my Harley and me got a thing going on. I enjoy riding a motorcycle. That's the one thing I can't do hardly anymore. But I got me a three-wheeler, a girl's bike, a trike. My wife said, you can't turn that over. And I tried to and couldn't, so she gave me permission to ride it. And there that group came and put that stuff in, and he told me he's got it fixed where I can see it, where I got a camera where I can view the front door from my house, and it's just a real good rifle shot away. It wouldn't take much to drop him right where he's, and if he goes over there, he'll be found over there the next morning. And plus, I got a 145-pound Rottweiler that don't know how to love nobody and don't know how to pray and be nice. He just eats legs and hips. I don't have a collar on him because he ain't going to belong to me when he does start eating people. And that guy was showing me how to work that thing and how to get that thing moving, how to get that thing working for me. And he said, you just hit these buttons, and said, when you shut that door, I'm gonna hook it up for your house and your phone. He said, he put somebody over there and gave me my phone and showed me on it how they would come up to the door and look. And you've seen that advertisement, I'm sure. That guy picks that phone up or that speaker, and he said, hits that button and says, don't even think about it. Well, we got us an alarm in our soul called this book. Every time you see something in it that's not good for you, You need to say, all right, that's an alarm. I'm not going to let you have it. Don't even think about it, Satan. I'm not into that. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to keep my house. I'm going to keep my body. I'm going to keep my soul and spirit under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to ask him, we don't need ADT. We need KJV is what we need to watch over our houses. All we need is God sitting on the apex and an angel sitting on the cornerstone. And we lay down at night and know that God's going to help us and watch over us and give us what we need. Somebody holler amen. Okay. Oh, may the Lord help us and encourage us, I pray, about this thing of daily. Daily. Getting in the Word. Getting in the Word. Number two, I got a couple of things I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it. Listen closely. Number two, the first thing is the scriptures must be rehearsed or reviewed. Number two, souls must be reached. Souls must be reached. Whether it's on radio, TV, neighborhoods, preaching pulpits, teaching classes, doing whatever we can do to get people saved. Amen. I am an ambassador for God, but I am not the saver. I'm not the one that saves. I didn't die for you. But one did. And if I know somebody's got power to make somebody come back to life, I would be a fool not to tell them that they can have him and he'll bring them back to life. God gives resurrection power. I will not be fooled by a whole lot of stuff that you got to do, because you can talk somebody into anything. If you got something that's attractive and jingly to them, what we need is just some old-fashioned Bible preaching with love that brings repentant faith to somebody in a congregation, and they're not afraid to get out in an aisle and go down there and get baptized because their hair cost $60 last week to get it fixed. Your hair will dry out, but your soul will die and go to hell. If you let Satan, he'll drive you into a place of driving you crazy. And we don't need that at all. God's word says sinners must be told. We must find out in that scripture that Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Our souls must be reached daily. Listen at this. Acts, let's see, what did I do with my glasses? Did I put them in? Here they are. Here they are, right here. Let's look at Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 47. Listen to it. Praising God and having favor with all the people. They wasn't a bunch of mean people. They wasn't a bunch of hurtful people. They were not a bunch of negative people. They said that having favor with all the people. And listen, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 5:42. And daily, that's what we're talking about. Daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Acts 16:5, and as they were, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. People were just getting saved left and right because God was starting his church, and there was a reason so many came. And such an influx of people. From Acts 5 to 8, there was some 8,000, 8,500 people that got born again in just a few chapters. That's wonderful. These people were going around telling the story of how life had come to them. Amen. How life had reached them and how life had helped them. Let me ask you something. Do you know for sure if you were to fall over dead right now in this tabernacle that you'd go to heaven? Well, I promise you, if you can say yes, and most of you can, I'm sure, I promise you it wasn't anything you done. It wasn't anything I done. It wasn't anything that I promised. It wasn't anything that somebody else promised me. I just came as a rugged sinner, living like the devil in hell, and sprawled out in an altar somewhere where I was told God would meet with me. And I'd like to say that God did meet with me, and the Holy Ghost began to massage my heart, and he began to do something wonderful and gracious in my soul. And before I knew it, I was acting funny. Before I knew it, I was acting strange. Before I knew it, I was acting a little bit peculiar. All them Bible words, I found out all of a sudden my sins were gone. I found out they had been erased out of the Lamb's book, or out of the book of life. I'm glad that he took them out of the book of life, put my name in the name where Jesus wanted it, and in the Lamb's book of life. And I'm glad I'm saved forever, and my name is secure forever because of who Jesus is. Somebody holler amen. Oh, God help us. Oh, my. I remember when my daddy got saved. We're talking about sinners. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Souls, rather, are sinners. Must be reached daily. You get in that book. I hope that's not the same fella. Bless his heart. He's been all over the place about sick. But my daddy watched me like a hawk. I got saved a year before he did. He criticized me when I'd make a mistake. He was looking for a reason to complain. He was seizing every opportunity to try to make it not work. I would go by my daddy's house and tell him, "Daddy, you're not going to hell. The Bible says that you will without Christ, but I want to tell you, you aren't, because I'm praying." I wasn't 6 months old in God when I found out, without a doubt, that God was in the business of helping people and encouraging people. I'd go by and my daddy would lock himself in his bedroom. My mother had gotten saved and my brother had gotten saved. I was trying to get the whole rat nest in. I wanted them all to come. Daddy was a holdout, but I was a hold on. And I was holding on to faith. I was holding on to God's goodness and mercy. I went in there one night and told my daddy I'd have to talk to him through the keyhole. He wouldn't open the door and let me in. I said, "Daddy, I know the devil's telling you you're going to hell, but I want you to know something. I was on an altar tonight praying for you and seeking God for you, and you ain't going to hell. You might not like it, but listen real good. You're going to heaven. I'm going to do everything I can to persuade God. I'm going to do everything I can to provide for you a witness that you can go to heaven and trust the Lord." One Sunday night, I was preaching in Savannah, and my daddy liquored up with my mother, who was saved as John the Baptist. She brought him to the house of God, and they sat down on the back row, and I was preaching. The preacher's boy had gotten killed in Vietnam, and he had gone to New York to claim his body. And they asked me to go down there and preach in this meeting. I was in college. The college sent me down there. I called my mother. I said, "Mom," I said, "I'm preaching in Savannah. I sure would like to see you and Daddy come." She said, "Son, Daddy won't come." I said, "In Jesus' name, ask him." In Jesus' name. Mama, we got to get him in. I believe then our time was short, and I believe tonight, teenager, time is short. And Jesus is coming back. I went down there and preached that morning. Daddy didn't come that night. I came into the service and was fellowshipping with some of the folks, and I saw my dad come in. sat right over there. He was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He was nervous. He thought, sure as the world, he was going to get caught up in there and couldn't get out. Mama was over there praying, asking God to save him. My brother, who's 2 years younger than I am that preaches, was over there praying in the corner with him. And I just preached everything I knew, and some things God didn't. I preached everything I knew, and it was about 20 minutes. I didn't know nothing. I just got up and begged Daddy not to go to hell and pleaded with the Holy Ghost not to let him. Right in the middle of my preaching, he stepped out in the aisle and started about two steps down, and I said, God, we'll meet you here. And he turned around and left. Went out the back door. I could see him through this glass door, the glasses in the door, walking back and forth. He was scared to death. He was shaking like a dog in a thunderstorm. I finished preaching. I ran down the aisle and went back there, and he's walking back and forth. I said, Daddy, you didn't come tonight. He said, but I want you to know you ain't going to hell. He said, son, I may be going just there. I said, no, sir, ain't going to happen. I've done laid her down. God's done said okay. You coming in, whether you like it or not. I got in my car that evening and went back to Coal Falls College. My wife and girl. That night, Monday, about 6 o'clock, my phone rang. It was my mama. She said, you ain't going to believe it. You ain't going to believe it. I said, what, mama? What? You don't need for me to tell you. You won't believe me. I said, mama, what's up? What are you talking about? I thought God would call her to preach. Tell me what it is. She said, I'll let your daddy tell you. He heard the word of God. He got convicted by the Holy Ghost. He told me this. He said, son, he said, I don't know what happened to me, and I can't tell you nothing about it. But I know now it's real. And I know that God Almighty has done for me what you've been praying. He said, I was sitting here at the supper table eating soup, beans, and cornbread. Hallelujah. And God just gave me what your mama got. He was saved for 11 years, and all he ever called it was what my mama got. He loved it. I could hear Satan, and he's been after me ever since. Everybody that's come, the thousands across this world that we've been able to reach, I want to tell you, hallelujah, every one of them is worth whatever the devil wants to do about it. I don't care. If you run up on him, you tell him, I don't like him a lick. Not one lick. They've got to be saved. We got to go after them. We've got to preach the gospel to them. Let me give you the third one. What was the first one? Tell me what the first one was, somebody. The scriptures must be reviewed. Somewhere you're going to have to find that Bible. Sometime you're going to have to read it. You say, my eyes are bad. Get your magnifying glass. If you're too blind to read it with a magnifying glass, now don't go outside and scare the neighbors with that magnifying glass. You may get it on CD. Put it in your car. You'll feel the windows go down, something will jump out, and they go back up. It'll be him. He can't stand it. Preach it. Love it. Give it. Share it. And let God get glory. out of your life. Amen. Secondly, we found out that, help me out, Jake. Souls must be reached. Number three, here's the third one. A surrender must be released daily. Now listen to me. You cannot halfway read that book and halfway pray and halfway go to church and expect a full dose of the Spirit's power.
Amen.
I love you to death. I'll do anything for any of you I can while I'm here. I will go out on a limb with you. But I will not lie to you and tell you you can do anything you want to and God understands. That's not the case. We must allow God's Holy Spirit to teach us every day of our life that it's a little bit less of us and a little bit more of Him. Growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, thank you, Jesus. John said, I must say it. Decrease, say it. Decrease. Some of you can't even say it. Come on, say it. Decrease. And he must increase. There needs to be a weight program for our flesh. We need to lose some of it in our appetites. And we need to gain weight on the spirit and soul of life and let God do something marvelous and wonderful for us. Oh, my. Oh, that God would help us. The Bible tells us, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. He wasn't talking about dying in the flesh, in the natural. He's talking about dying in his wickedness and in his own heart's condition, in his soul, and in his mind.
Yes.
I wonder if there's somebody here tonight that might want to give him your life totally. I wonder if there's anybody here that would come and let the Lord be. Psalm 86:3, merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Every one of us needs an old-fashioned boost. Living for God daily. Daily, not monthly. Daily. Let's give him praise and glory in prayer. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you for praying for me. How many Christians are they here tonight, believers, that God Almighty has touched this week somewhere in these meetings, maybe tonight, and God's Holy Spirit touched you and showed you your relationship with the Word of God's been puny? There's been times in my life when I was ashamed of how discouraged and how little I go to God when I get that way. Please, I'm asking you tonight to follow God. I prayed for you today. I've asked God this morning, this noon, and this evening to touch you. There's a girl somewhere here and some kids somewhere here tonight that God wants to do something with. If you miss out on getting in what God's got for you tonight, it could be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Come to Him. Get help. Let the Lord have His way in your heart. Holy Spirit, I'm the least of the little ones in here tonight to even look up and call on your name. Jesus, I've been the sorriest thing you ever touched. I've been one sorry believer. Where the book's concerned at times, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you, oh God, not to pet me. I'm not even asking for you to favor me. Even though I believe you do and have, I want you to forgive me. For not being and living as I ought to. Now, Holy Spirit, have your way in our midst, and let the power of God assemble in our heart. I wonder how many would just come right now, just right around the altar. Sunday school teachers are coming. Women are coming. Men are coming. I don't know who it is that needs him, but he told me you'd come if I'd preach it. We need more than anything else in the world to get daily with God. Daily. God bless you, honey. Daily. Daily. Preacher, I have been weeks without him. I have been months without that book. I want you to help me pray for me, preacher. I will. I sure will. You've been so good to pray for me. You rest assured I'm praying for you. May God help us tonight to get up out of our seat and find us a place and say, I'm sorry. Did you read it today? Have you touched the hem of his garment today? I'm not talking about last night, today. I'm not talking about tomorrow night, tonight. What about your life? I wonder if you'd come up here and just allow him to touch your heart. Come on. Mama, bring your daughter. Daddy, bring your boys. Ask God to do something for you in a marvelous and a mighty way, and to give you a daily walk with God. Come on. Brother Jim, can we sing I Surrender All? Stand with me all over the building, please. All over the building. He's going to lead us in.
All to Jesus.
All to Jesus. You come.
I surrender.
If you've never trusted him, never believed him for your salvation, get it settled tonight. Get it dealt with.
Love and trust him.
Because he's capable of doing it if you'll come.
In his presence daily live.
Come on, Jesus.
Surrender.
Come on in Jesus' name. There's still others. Too many people standing. Too many people just occupied with something else. Come on. I surrender all. I'm going to come tell him all I got's his. All I got belongs to him. You come.
I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now.
How long has it been since some of you been to the front of the church? I take care of my business at home. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for notifying us of that. But the house of God is a place where we encourage people by encouraging ourselves to move and cause people to see what he can do for them. All right. Preacher, God bless you. Thank you for having me. Thank y'all for coming. You folks from these other churches, God bless you. I hope you'll come back and see us. We'll be here through Friday. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us through the whole thing. Then it goes next week. You know the best part of the next week is when you had a great first week. That's what really brings the second week out. And I hope and pray that the Spirit of God will nest in here with y'all. That the power of God will move in here in such a powerful way it would overcome men and cause us to fall head over heels in love with Him.
I don't know how it was in those days in the wilderness, but daily God sent manna. But knowing people, like I know people, some no doubt stayed in their tent, said, "I'll skip it today, and I'll skip it today." But I want to tell you, for all those who wanted manna, they could get manna. You can have as much of God as you want to have. You can enjoy as much of the bread of life as you want to have. Amen. Oh my. Wouldn't it be often to go out from under this tabernacle with an empty basket, empty soul? Doesn't have to be that way. God has sent fresh manna. Amen. In fact, if you don't respond to this message right, just like that manna bred worms and stank, you don't respond right, this message will have to go to stinking on you. I pray it smells so bad that you'd have to get somewhere and cough it up and say, "Oh God, would you give me a little bit more manna? Would you give me another opportunity?" I'll tell you, this kind of preaching is chalking the powder. And you chalk a powder long enough, something will blow after a while. We interested in the big blowing stuff, but that doesn't happen apart from this kind of preaching. I appreciate the preaching of the Word of God. I appreciate the man of God wanting to labor, willing to pull the plow. Father, I thank you for your man. I thank you for touching him, God. Lord, we stood here and prayed, and God, you answered, so we say thank you. We say thank you. We say thank you. God, I pray for business that was done all around this altar. I pray for others, God, that ought to do business, God. Lord, I pray that we daily get manna, get bread. Thank you, Lord, for the boost tonight. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In your holy righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. I wouldn't miss tomorrow night. Come back. Tell somebody you love them. Shake hands, you go. See you tomorrow night. Good Lord willing. Amen. Amen, preacher.